Blog Talk Radio.
Awareness. We have a special calling of the angels today to join us, which I did not know until 2 seconds before we went live on the air. But today, not only have angels, we also have a human angel, Annie Margarita. Not only because I personally like her, which I do, but also for many other reasons. First and most important, Sippy Talk is here for your benefit, for my listeners. It's here for, just for the listeners, and your feedback drives the direction of our programming. Annie joined us for an interview about money and meaning, and the feedback was very big. Everybody that heard it loved it and asked for more. So, of course, we're going to. Obviously, tells me that my listeners like her as much as I do, and so, of course, I would bring her back. But there are a few other reasons she's back, which I will not discuss, but there is one big reason she's here that I will discuss and even focus on, is that Annie keeps on exceeding my expectation of who she is. And right now, Annie's at a crossroads. She has a major decision to make, and it's the way she's going about making that decision that is definitely one of her biggest strengths. But also, it is a process where my listeners can have a huge benefit. If any one of you happens to be standing at a crossroad now, or maybe if you'll be standing at a crossroad in the future, you could learn on the superior decision-making process and help you make a process in an objective, smart, and powerful way. This process that Annie is embarking on is not something that she created overnight. It's been accomplished through lots of learning, lots of discipline, and hard work. But all those things we can all do, and ultimately we have to make our own decisions on how we're going to incorporate our knowledge into a practical method for life, which is so impressive and how Annie went about to do that. Annie, who is on a conscientious quest to accomplish very concrete goals, has been in the process of making a major decision. And so that's why I wanted to share this with my listeners. I want to really welcome Annie to the show. And thank you, Annie, for joining us. I am so happy to have you here.
Good afternoon, Tippy. Thank you for having me on your show. I'm so excited to be here today talking on your show.
I'm so excited too. So the first thing I wanted is to congratulate you for finishing the first draft of your book. I know that's a huge project. And
yeah.
I know that most people that start, the majority of people, that's over 80% of people that start, do not finish. So congratulations.
Thank you. I mean, the first time that I was on your show, we were talking about me writing the book, right? I was just starting to write the book, and I was wondering when I would finish. And I actually just finished writing it last week.
Wow.
It was definitely a marathon because I wrote most of it. I finished writing most of it in January, but then I took 3 months off from writing it because I felt kind of down, and I didn't feel really confident about my writing until somebody read my book, what I had so far, and said, no, you should keep writing. You know, I'm going to make sure you keep writing. And then I was like, okay, all right. And now here I am, finally.
Isn't that interesting how the first time you starting it and now you completed it and you're back here with us, which is really a nice completion of a circle.
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I would definitely compare this process of writing a book to a marathon. I mean, in the beginning, it is just so difficult. But you have more willpower, right? But then by the end of it, you have less willpower and you're just like, I'm almost there. And you have to keep pushing yourself. Okay.
Yeah. Another thing you brought up that is really important in writing a book or taking on any big project is the fact that you stopped and you said, oh, God, this is not going anywhere. And that happens to be a very typical part of the journey. We usually quit like 3 steps before we succeed, or we get to a point where we want to quit. We don't even realize how great of the work that we've already done and that people are actually waiting for us to finish it. We don't see that because we just focused on, oh, this is just so hard. I can't do it anymore.
And so
lucky for you, you had somebody to come and say, hey, wait a minute. I'm not going to let you give up.
Yeah, lucky me.
Yeah. And also I want to congratulate you because I know that you discovered your purpose in life last year. And that's also a very huge accomplishment that you did. That was before you started writing the book?
Yes. Well, I had a general idea of what my purpose would be. I knew I wanted to do something related to personal finance somehow, right? But I didn't really have a clear idea what my message would be. And I'm still in the process of figuring out.
Right.
But
it's a process.
Right now, as I'm on the show, I know more than I did last year, which is I don't really want to teach people math because that's how other people teach it. They teach the budgeting and the forms, right?
Yeah.
And how compound interest accumulates over time. And that's all interesting. And I think the information is important for getting someone's financial life together. But as I've taught more, I realize it's really an emotional and a spiritual issue.
Mm-hmm.
I realized it and how this personal finance issue in people's lives actually connects to all areas of their lives.
Right.
I've been coaching somebody for the past 8 to 9 weeks and I'm watching him grow. He's getting his financial life together. But not only that, he also started writing every day. He writes 1,000 words a day.
Wow.
And then just recently, you know, he kept complaining to me about his social life and how he is so scared to step out of his comfort zone and say hi to people, right? So I told him, look, I'll make sure you socialize. You'll be more confident, right? And I pushed him to start inviting people to things like going out for a walk or just start saying hi to people. And he's been doing it, and now he's going to give a speech at Toastmasters. Great, right? And this really all stems from personal finance because once he got that together, he's starting to get the rest of his life together.
Right. Exactly. And that really comes back to the fact that how you do one thing is really how you do everything. If you're timid and afraid, let's say, of your finances, which is such a major part of life, then you're going to approach everything else timid and afraid the same way.
Mm-hmm.
But once you get a little confident about one, it's spirals into everything else. You can't isolate your life and become really excellent in one without it's kind of affecting everything. So you realize that it's more the spiritual quest and the emotional quest that you feel satisfied in talking about in coaching.
That's one aspect. That's really one aspect, because I recently also just picked up a book called The Zero Waste Lifestyle. And then in the book, it talks about how Americans, we consume so much and we throw out around 4.4 pounds of trash every day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a lot of trash we generate.
That's a lot and of trash.
That is totally related to personal finance, because it all comes from us being consumers. We're always buying more, right? So something else that's related to personal finance would be living sustainably and living green. Environmental, right? So
exactly.
I'm starting to make all these connections and how it's really just a holistic web.
Holistic infinite circle. Yeah, exactly. So I want to suggest to everybody, in order for them to understand a little bit more in depth of what we're talking about, to go back and to listen to our show that we did about money and meaning with Annie. And I think that we'll listen to that first and then come back and listen to this. And you'll also hear the difference in Annie and how she changed in very subtle little ways between then and now, and finishing the book between then and now, discovering more of your life purpose. And also, mm-hmm. I wanted to congratulate you on completing a few workshops that you've already done. And I think doing those workshops also gave you an idea of, I like this and I don't like doing this so much. This is more where I feel drawn to. I think that just putting your hands on and doing it made you learn so much more than just thinking about it.
Definitely. Definitely. I needed to experience it.
Exactly. And so the reason that we're really here today to talk about is, I fell in love with the process of decision making that you chose to make. I don't know all the aspects of your decision making, because I know there's more facets to it than one. But one of the things that you chose to do was to ask a few people for some feedback on very specific things. But before I go into what you were asking for, which is wonderful, was there any other facets of it that you want to share, so that if somebody is at a crossroad and wants to make a major decision, maybe they can tap into other things that they can do?
Can you rephrase this in a different way?
Okay, like one of the things you did, you have a major decision to make right now.
Right.
So one of the things you did was write an email ask a few people to give you feedback, and you told them specifically exactly what you want to get feedback on, right?
Yes.
That's one of the things you did. What was the other things that you did to help you make a decision?
I did a lot of writing.
You did writing, journaling.
Yes.
Okay, so that helps. So you, like when you were writing, were you asking yourself the question, trying to answer the question, or was it a formatted writing or just free writing or brainstorming?
No, it's more of a free writing, because when I'm upset, I was really upset, right? I need to write to get my feelings down. And then I'll read it, and then I'll think, oh, that's how I really feel. I mean, in my mind, I know, but I need to actually see it on paper in a logical and organized way to process my problem.
So was it that you were writing because you were upset, or you were writing because it was a tough decision?
No, I was writing because I was upset. Okay, well, the audience doesn't know this, but I have a huge racket about college, right? It's not
right.
That college is difficult. I just don't like school. I love education, but I don't like the institution of school. So
Me neither.
I was just really upset about this whole thing, and I needed to get it all down. So I was writing and thinking about this, and then I decided, you know, I'm going to finish college in 3 semesters instead of 5 years. But
mm-hmm.
then I decided, but wait, I also still want to do my personal finance and other activities that I still do, but I really need to cut down on my commitments. So I needed feedback from my community on what I asked to give me more of an idea of what I should do, right?
Okay, so here, that's one thing that you did, was writing it out, which is,
yeah.
which is a great way to look at a situation more objectively. Like you said, once you write it out, you look at it, you don't look at it with as much emotional stress as you would when you're just thinking about it without putting it on paper. So it kind of detaches it from you so you can take a look at it. So writing it out is a great idea.
That's right.
For a major decision, especially like a decision like this that is not only personal but very important to you. Could actually be a life changer.
Mm-hmm. And something else I did was meditating.
Mm-hmm.
So when I'm upset, I am always in this powerless state of mind, helpless and stressed out, lonely. People don't see me like that. They see me as some sort of social butterfly and confident, but I have those moments, right?
We all have those moments.
Yeah, we all have those moments when I really doubt myself. And so what I have to do is I have to meditate, just calm down and get into that state where like everything, all my problems just melt away. The problems are still there, but the feelings just don't affect me as much, right? Just melt it away. And I try to connect with what people would call a higher self or maybe God. And I'm in that state, I would just pray and ask, can you give me guidance? Can you help me through this moment, right? Not like people normally pray with their hands touching and, you know, head down. But I do that too, but like I also do it in meditation because I feel that connects me with God, connects me to God more.
And a more personal level. I totally agree because the power of meditation is so much bigger than people realize. And the form of meditation that we do, it varies so many different types of meditation. So it's important. But meditation, I totally agree. It's a form of prayer, but I think it's the most powerful form of prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Like saying words that somebody else wrote. That's like completely different. And it's more personal. Mm-hmm. And so that's huge, meditating. So all the things that you did basically describe your internal work. This is how you internally dealt with the situation, which is very stressful for you. So the decision that you have to make right now has to do with an education and an institution, obviously.
Right.
So instead of me reading the question that you asked, why don't you just tell us what decision it is that you have to make right now and why it is so difficult for you to make that decision?
Okay. I had to make the decision right now what I wanted to do. How long I wanted to complete my college education. That's specifically what I wanted to do. Because before, when I entered college, I figured, okay, let me just take it slow. I'll take 12 credits a semester, and I'll graduate in 5 years instead of the standard 4. So during my free time, I can do everything I did in the past year, which is financial
coaching,
writing the book, right.
Right.
Everything that I did, and I did a job. No, I worked 2 jobs, right? And it was great, and I definitely learned a lot. But something happened recently at school that really made me angry, and I decided, well, let me rethink my plan, right? What really happened was I had a professor who did not want to let me take the final earlier. I couldn't take the final on the day that's listed because I was selected by my school to attend a student leadership conference. So I'm going to represent my school, right?
So it's not something out of school.
Yeah, it's not like I'm just going to say, no, I don't want to take your final. It's something school related, right?
Right.
But my professor wasn't being understanding. He said, no, you'll just have to get an incomplete and then take a makeup or whatever. But what he's saying is essentially like going to ruin my financial aid.
Right.
And I'm wondering, is it worth it? Like what he's doing to me. And I'm thinking college should be helping me. College should be giving me more opportunities, but stuff like this that really stopped me from living my purpose, living my dream, because I wanted to travel to Mexico this summer. And with him saying, no, I couldn't, I'm thinking, no, college is actually stopping me. It's a hindrance. It's an obstacle to everything I'm doing right now. So I decided I wanted to finish it faster. Yeah, that was the problem I had. Whether I should do it 5 years or should I do it faster? And I decided, yeah, I'm going to do it faster. I'm going to finish everything in 3 semesters. Yeah.
Right. So basically, because of what he did, it made you realize that the institutions are not necessarily going to support your needs. And mm-hmm. the faster you get out of here, the better off you are.
I was thinking, I really wanted to go to Mexico this summer because I don't think of it as having fun. I thought of it as it's an educational experience. I'm going to learn Spanish fluently. I'm going to engage in a different culture. I'll learn how to talk to people who are different from me, and I'll learn to be more accepting, right? Mm-hmm. I'll learn some dance. So I wanted to learn ballroom dancing there. So I want to learn how to be more free with my body. And all of this whole experience is going to help me with public speaking. It really is. Right. Right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Definitely. It's not something I can learn in school, right? But to hear him say, no, you shouldn't go to Mexico in the summer. You should take summer school instead. I get all riled up. I'm outraged, really outraged. And I'm thinking, you know what? No. I should finish school as fast as possible. Then nobody can tell me, no, you can't go to Mexico, you know, because I'll graduate and then my life is mine to live. I make the decisions in my life. I'm the captain.
Yeah. Well, I have to say you are very independent and you're very spirited. Even though you are 21 years old, you're already realizing that the independence, how important it is and how important it is to make your own decisions. So that definitely comes through. Your spirited attitude, and you're claiming your independence and saying, okay, you know what, I'm going to go through school. I'm not going to be a quitter, but maybe there's a different way. And the different way would be to basically, what you're saying is you're going to go to 2 schools at the same time. While you're attending community college, you're also going to be attending a university online at the same time. So you're being
two schools
at the same time. And you don't think it's too much of a challenge. You don't think it would be difficult.
No, I don't think so. I don't. And something I think about education is, no, about intelligence, is that it's not set. I don't think getting A's in school is about being smart. I think it's about having the right system set in place in terms of time management and studying. When you have the right system and the right habits, you will do well in school. So I realized I already have an excellent system and habits set in place. So it's going to be no problem for me to go to 2 schools at the same time. And also, the other one is an online school, so I'll be doing everything at my own pace. I'm going to get a whole lot of flack about online school and how it's not credible, but honestly, at this point, I don't care. I really don't.
Yeah, actually, that was the first thing that I was thinking about is it very credible, and is it going to make a difference? But I think it depends what you want to do. If you want to be an accountant, where they look at your school record, then online school may not be the best. If you want to be a lawyer where your school record is really important and it gets very scrutinized, not. But it all depends on what it is that you want to go to school for. It might or might not make a difference, but it depends on your major. That's for sure.
It definitely depends on the career path that you want to go on. And for what I want to do, it really doesn't matter. It really doesn't. And to be honest, I actually just wrote a blog post today about what I'm doing, and I'm going to document the whole thing. And then I'm going to write a book about it later on how I did it.
I love it. Yeah.
If an employer, I thought about this. If an employer doesn't want to hire me because I went to an online college, you know, good for him, right? Because those are not the kind of people that I want to work with anyway. The kind of people that only look at, it's true, you know, the kind of people that only look at status symbols like that, instead of looking at you as a person, looking at your character, your personality, your past experiences and your achievements. Because if he looks at the rest of my resume, he'll see that I'm very, very independent, very motivated. I have high integrity. So if he makes a whole decision based on where I went to college, that's his problem. I don't need those kind of people in my life.
Absolutely.
Like,
he's lost.
Don't. Yeah. he's not gonna be a positive impact on my career. He really isn't.
Okay. So you do have a major. What did you decide already on a major?
Yeah. Speech communication.
Communication?
Speech communication. Yep.
Oh, okay.
Because so I wanna do public speaking. So
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, right. Okay. Speech communication. So So I'm going to read one of the paragraphs that you wrote. I'm writing to you because I need your help. You're one of the amount of people selected, trusted people I've chosen to ask. I want you to tell me through an email or whatever, what do you think are my unique strengths and talents? You can write more than one. I want you to be specific. It would be more useful to me if you illustrate with a concrete example. So you don't want people to just come and tell you, you're wonderful, you're amazing, have a nice day. You want to really look. You're going to tell me I'm wonderful?
Right.
You better have something to back it up with. Of a past situation in which I use my strength productively. So, for example, it's too general to say I'm generous, only specific, exactly what I say, only specific moment of when I was generous. This may be difficult for some of you. I've only, that's okay because I purposely included you. So you not only send a request to a certain amount of people to give you feedback that you needed to make a decision, you also gave them very specific guidelines on how to answer you because you didn't want to waste your time with a whole bunch of BS kind of answers.
Mm-hmm.
Which I really, really love. You see, it's one thing
to
call someone
and ask.
Yeah, I love that about what you did. And I think that's one of the key things, and that's one of your major strengths, is that you don't just randomly say, hey, I need your help, what do you think, blah, blah. You know exactly, and that's because you did the journaling. That's because you did the meditating. And now you know. This is the answer that I need, and this is what I want you to tell me. And I would want to know exactly when you make a decision what it is that made you. So the decision that you have to make right now that you're asking to find out your strength is not what kind of major to take, because you already know that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not whether you should go to school in two separate schools at the same time and do it, because you already know you can do that and you want to do it. What is it that you deciding on based on the information you get and based on all the other things that you're doing?
Okay, so I'm asking people for my strengths because I know that when I start going to school to two schools at the same time, my time is going to be really limited because I'm going to be spending a lot of it studying for exams.
Yes.
So out of the free time that I have left, I really have to figure out what I'm going to do with it. And I want whatever activity I choose to incorporate my strengths so I could be more effective. What I've been doing before is I'll just take this, I'll take that on, that project. I have a whole bunch of projects going on at the same time, and I'll handle it all fine. But now I just want to focus on specific projects where I can really use my strength, and my personality and my character will shine through. That's why I'm asking people what my strengths are. I do have some vague idea of what my strengths are, but sometimes it's not a good reflection or a mirror. Sometimes what other people think are just as important because they see things that I can't see. I have my own blind spots, right?
Right, right.
That's why I asked this whole group of people, what do you think my strengths are? And then after they tell me what my strengths are, I'm going to find the trends, the patterns, and analyze it to see if there's something that they all say in common.
Right. So let me be very clear. The reason that you're asking for your strength is you've made a decision to go to two schools at the same time, which is a huge thing that you're taking on, but you still think you're going to have time left over to do other things, and you want to make sure that whatever it is, the other thing that you're doing is going to be something that's the best of what you can be, because it's going to be a limited amount of time. And I have to tell you before I go on is not too many people would be able to do that, because most people, going to school is a full time, and they will not have time to do anything else. So are you sure you will have time left over to do other things?
Yes, I will definitely make the time. If there's space on my calendar to do it, it's going to be done. I mean, I've already been elected as Vice President of Education for Toastmasters.
Right.
So that's something that's a commitment I have to have, right?
Right.
And then
right.
I was talking about the student leadership conference before and how I have to go. That's why I can't take the final on that day, right?
Right.
The whole purpose of going to the conference is so that after I take it, then I come back to school in the fall and I create a program for my school. the counselor told me I can create any program I want for the students. And I decided to create a personal finance program. This is the first time I will actually have my own curriculum that I created for the public.
Wow.
So that's also another activity that I need to take on. So it'd be great to know my strengths. So when I design the program and I teach it, my strengths really shine through.
Wow. Yeah. And so we have
I pretty much have to do extra stuff along with the two schools I'm going to.
Oh, you have to, because it would be impossible for you not to.
Yeah, that's right.
And so we have Robert here on the line. I'm wondering if he has any questions for you. And if he does, then we'll bring it in.
Okay. So, hi, Robert.
Okay, he made
Hello, Tippy. Hello, Annie.
Hi.
How you doing?
Hi, Robert. So you've been listening to us and to Annie, and I would love to know if you have a quick question for Annie to answer for you.
Yes. Why speech communication?
That's a good question.
Right.
What made you pick that?
Why? Actually, when I originally entered college in the fall, I had business administration as my major. And then as I took the business classes, such as macroeconomics and microeconomics, I realized just how bored I was. I was literally like falling asleep in these classes. I think they're important, but I have no interest in them. I do want to be a businesswoman, but I don't think I specifically need to major in something business related to be a good businesswoman. I think it really comes with experience.
So it was a process of elimination. You were like,
that's
I can't
right.
take.
So when I was thinking this through, I looked at the college catalog to see what other things they had to offer. And there was speech communication. And I looked at the courses that were available and I'm thinking, this is exactly what I need. Because they offer classes like, these are the kind of classes that they offer. Business communication, intercultural communication, interpersonal communication, small group communication, voice and diction and articulation. So like all these things related to speaking, getting better at speaking to all kinds of people in all kinds of settings. I'm thinking, this is a skill. These aren't knowledge-based classes. These are skills-based classes, and they're exactly what I need. Because over the past year, I have been doing singing exercises and my voice improved a lot and people started to respect me much more. And I realized just how important it is to know how to speak. So that's why I'm choosing speech communication as my major.
And it's part of your decision-making process. You take a look at it. You didn't know what business major would be, and you may have had the wrong idea of what that might have been. But that's what I said. The one thing that impressed me the most is your decision-making process. And Robert, there's a lot of noise where you're at. You have another question? Because I'm going to mute your microphone.
I do have another question. And the question is, Annie, do you have a passion, and what is it?
I'm going to mute your microphone. Go ahead, Annie.
Do I have a passion? I would say my passion is meeting new people and learning new things. Do I need to elaborate why? Okay.
Go ahead, elaborate.
Okay, so I don't know. It's just every time I talk to someone, I feel so happy. I feel so energized from being with people. Sometimes it's draining, but in general, I just love to talk to people. They have so much to teach me and I have so much to learn from them. That's why I don't think education only comes from school. It also comes from outside. Part of it comes from interaction and dialogue with others. That's why it's my passion. And I just have so many interests. I have an interest in sewing, in singing, in dancing. I do all sorts of things. I'm reading all the time. I'm always writing. Speaking is definitely a passion. Traveling is a passion. And I realized that the common denominator from all of them is my passion for learning. learning.
Right. You touched on two really important things about learning. First of all, learning is not necessarily in school, but the truth of the matter, most of the learning that we do in life is totally not from school. Most of the learning we do is in our life. We can either learn or we can hide away in our room and not learn. But that's one of the huge things that you've touched on. Not that you don't need an education. Everybody needs an education. But again, it's not just the education. It's the institution that's giving the education. It's the rules that the institution has that decides what kind of education you're going to get. And it's also your learning ability. You can have 10 people take the same exact class, and each one is going to walk away with something a little bit different from the class. And some people are even going to walk away with nothing. No.
That's true. Plan.
So that's definitely, and you never stop learning. The day you stop learning is the day you are either dead or stupid.
Or stupid. Okay.
So that's the two things. And then the other thing is about that you love being around people and communicating with people. And you said something really huge. And you said sometimes it's draining. And that's the key about people. Because if you're going to be around really negative thinking people, and I'm not judging people for being positive, but if people really emit negative energetic thoughts, I don't care how positive you are and how great of a mood you're in and what a great person you are. And even if you're standing in heaven with 1,000 angels around you, when you're around someone that has got negative emitting from them, you will walk away drained, totally
definitely.
Drained. And so the quality
I just want to go home and sleep after that. I need to recover. I really do.
Right. So people are beautiful, but you do have, but people have so much power in the energy that they're putting out. And a lot of people are not aware of that. They're not aware that when they're smiling on the inside, everybody around them smiles on the inside. But when they're upset on the inside, even if they put on a mask and pretend to be all nice and bubbly on the outside, you still walk away drained. And you may not even know why.
People feel it. They see this positive person, but they feel it. There's this sense of like inauthenticity or this fakeness to them that really
absolutely.
Just wants to push you away and walk away.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm sure everyone knows what I'm talking about. I'm sure.
Yeah. The thing that's
said like
about
that
it, and I'm not
going to. the case of a salesperson, they're trying to sell you something and they're all smiling and really happy and they have this giggle and high-pitched voice. They're so happy to meet you. They think you're wonderful and they compliment you and they flatter you. But for some reason, you don't feel that connection with them, that rapport, because they're being fake, right? And then you're
right,
lucky.
And they have an agenda.
And then when they're gone, they have an agenda. And then when they're gone, you feel, oh my God, thank God. Thank God. You know what
yes.
I mean?
Yes, I do. I one person told me one time, and I looked at her, and she was not the most beautiful and not the smartest woman, not the most educated, but she said something to me the day I met her, and as I got to know her, I saw her manifesting it, and she said, well, you know, I love everybody, and everybody loves me. And as I got to know her, I realized she's surrounded by people who really wanted to hate her. She was getting married to some guy, whatever, and they all end up loving her and hugging her and treating her really well because that's her mode of apprentice. I love everybody and everybody loves me. And so when you walk around saying, I love everybody, the only people you're going to attract is people that love you. And if they don't, those people are going to run like hell. They're just going to get away from you.
That's right. You repel them.
Yes, because they're not in they don't love me, so obviously they don't exist. And so that's very powerful. It's very, very powerful. Mm-hmm. And so that has been a lot of fun, and we definitely exceeded our time here, but I feel that it was really important. I think decision-making, the way you have chosen to make this specific decision, is one of the most powerful ways. So that's definitely one of the strengths that you have, that you are able to have that kind of discipline and that kind of insight in such a powerful way. And so you listened to the show, The Awakening, that we did, and I recommend that everybody go listen to that show before and tell and kind of try to figure out where you are on that spectrum. That show can be improved, and it will be, but it's about the awakening process. And we're not going to go through it here, but please, if you could go listen to that and then come back here, and then you'll understand what Annie is saying more, better, and clearer, even though we will try to make it as clear as possible. And on the stage, and the reason I'm asking you this is because I can see that the way you proceed with things, the way you make decisions, the way you take on projects, whether you're scared, you still take it on, whether you have to drive 60 miles extra, you take it on. You take it on so boldly, so powerfully. You, of course, you're not perfect. Of course, you have your moments where you might go into your room and scream your brains off. But but at least you don't take it out on people as much as New Yorkers do. But on the process of the awakening, where do you see yourself right now the most? What do you identify with the strongest part?
Right now, as I'm talking to you, I'd say I'm on a third state, which is the awake state. Let's see. It says that in this state, this state, that's when I become awake, and then I help others become awake, and I put the light on everyone. That's what it says. And I think most of the time I operate under this state anyway, because I care about myself and my health, but I do tend to be other oriented. So I will try to put myself in other people's shoes, and I will try to help them the best I can. So I think I'm operating under the awake state. But when I was dealing with the problem that I had, which is how long should I finish college, and my professor said I can't take the exam on a different day, I was under the first state, which is the awakening, because that's when that's when I realized, no, something needs to change. I can't do this.
Right. So that might have been an awakening moment for you, your professor.
Yeah, that was the
moment. Like something so stupid. You can't do something even though you're involved in a school activity.
Right. That was the moment that just made me snap. And then I had the enlightenment for a few days. And then now I'm in the awake state, which is I have this challenge going on, the 18-month college challenge, me trying to finish college really early. And I'm sharing it with everybody. You know, I'm announcing it to the public, and I'm telling them my process. I'm going to document everything. Mm-hmm. And I think that's part of the awake state. Yeah, and I'll write a book.
And you write a book about it.
So then anybody who wants to do what I'm doing, which is to go to two colleges at the same time or just finish in less than 4 years, they'll see my process, and they can be inspired by it, and then they can come up with their own method of doing it, and they can do it themselves. Right.
Exactly. So just like people will get inspired.
I believe I'm spreading the message.
Right. Just like people will get inspired with your decision-making process. And when they come to a crossroads and have to make a really important, powerful decision, they can follow a few of your steps. But with the book and with you documenting everything, it'll make it so much easier. It'll be a step-by-step, right?
I did research, and I did see that there was one book. I looked online. There was one girl who graduated Berkeley in 2 years.
Wow.
And she wrote a book about it. But
was
then
it
I
online?
On a transcript. Yeah, it's online. It's on Amazon. I forgot the title.
Oh, no.
But
did she graduate online, or did she actually
Berkeley. Berkeley.
Like, oh, she went to school. Well, Berkeley also has an online university.
Oh, no. She did the in-person classes.
Okay.
In-person. But then I looked at her transcript, which is right on her website, and she's getting B's and C's, mostly D's.
Nothing wrong with that.
Any A's. I know, nothing wrong with that. But you could see that she's just flying through school without learning anything, really.
B's
and
do not mean you don't learn anything, Annie.
I'm sorry. Yeah, you are learning something, but she's not doing as well as I would like her to do. How about that?
Well, let's put it this way. You're not going to get B's and C's.
Right. So, okay, I'm fine. Yeah, I get A's on pretty much everything. But, I do want to serve as some sort of role model that you can do it early, do all of this
you
early.
You can get A's.
And you can get A's. You can, right.
And you can finish school in 18 months.
Yes, and you can do it for less than $10,000. You can.
And
along with that,
your journey is going to be unique and different from anybody else's. You can find another 25 books of 25 people talking about this subject. It's not going to be the same as your journey at
mm-hmm.
all, because you're unique. That's the thing about people's uniqueness. They think, oh, this is everybody's story. It's not everybody's story. It's your unique story. And that's one of the things that we're really passionate here about, is getting people's stories out there, because your story can inspire people that you will never meet, or maybe one day you will meet someone and will say, you know, 10 years ago I read your book and it
Ooh.
Totally changed my life.
That'd be a nice moment.
And it would be, but you don't know. You are putting yourself out there, like you're doing right now, in order to have a positive effect on other people, or in order to have a positive effect on life, in order to have a positive effect on your life, and in order to spiral into the light. That's your goal. That's what you want to accomplish. So by telling your story, it's part of that process. By going to school, by decision making a certain way. Everything that you do seems to come down to the same thing. Affecting people and the world in a positive way.
Yeah. It does.
And yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So that sounds amazing. I'm looking forward to not talking to you while you're busy getting your A's, but hearing about your journey. And is there any words of wisdom that you would like to leave everybody that's listening to it, and maybe somebody that's actually on the crossroads right now trying to make a decision? What would you tell them?
I would tell them, calm down. It's not the end of the world, because your life really does go on. Because when you look back, no, if you're going through something really difficult right now, if you look back on all the other things that bothered you in the past, they don't bother you now.
Right.
They look like huge obstacles back then, but right now they're nothing. So first
right,
of all, calm
right.
down. Calm down, first of all. And second of all, listen to yourself. Really, listen to yourself. What is it that you want for yourself and your life? And at the end of your life, are you going to be happy that you made the decision that you're going to make? Because when I was making this decision, I was listening to my mother. I was listening to my counselor. I was listening to you, Tippy. I was listening to my boyfriend, who keeps telling me, no, you should go to SoCa University, which is the school I graduated from. It's going to make you smarter and more educated. So I'm listening to all these other people, and I'm thinking, well, what is it that I want? Right? Because they don't have the same experiences that I do, and they don't have the same goals that I have either.
Right.
So it's really important. Listen to yourself. You're not going to regret it. You really won't.
Right. So
that's
you're saying,
advice.
Listen to what everybody has to say, but at the end of the day,
yeah.
don't do things just because somebody else said you should do it.
That's right. Consider their advice, but in the end, the decision is yours.
Right. That makes sense.
Even if your decision ends up being the unconventional one, it's completely okay. It actually inspires other people who are
right.
scared and they live on the sidelines. It really does inspire other people when you live unconventionally. Yeah.
When you break out and do things your way.
Yeah. That's my advice.
That sounds just about right, because at the end of the day, if you do listen to everybody else, and I can tell you right now, anytime I have listened to other people and took their way of thinking, and I can remember right now two big things in my life, I totally regret one of them now, but the other one also, I regret just not listening to my own voice and following mm-hmm. blindly with what other people said. And one of them was my mother, and she meant well.
Mm-hmm.
And she
yeah.
meant well, and she gave me the advice based on what she needed, not necessarily for my best interest. It was more for my sister's best interest and for her best interest, which she thought was the same. I don't think she meant to do it in any negative way, but it wasn't the advice that worked for me. And right now, if I could take it back, I would. But you can't. You can't go back and take it back. So I think it's great advice to listen to everybody, but at the end, really make the decision that comes from your heart, from your meditation, from your contemplation, from your journaling, from your own journey, because your journey is unique. And Annie, you are definitely unique. You are very powerful. You have a much more influence on people than you even realize right now. And you speak and you walk with a lot of confidence already. And so at the end, I'm really looking forward to hearing your decision, your journey. I know that everybody that knows you wants to hear that and wants to know more, because you're just that kind of a person that everybody wants to touch and be around and like get a little bit like, maybe you rub off on them a little.
Yeah, I do. Somehow I rub off on them. I don't know how. Like how I, when was this? Back in March, I decided I'm going to get rid of my cell phone, right? Or more like I'm not going to bring my cell phone with me out in public. I'll only use it at home. Mm-hmm. And then at first, Robert was throwing a tantrum. He's like, what do you mean you're getting rid of your cell phone? And he said, this is a crazy decision. You need your cell phone, yada, yada, yada. And then he said this in front of everyone at Toastmasters. And I thought it was so embarrassing to me. And then I got up there. No, I really did. I got up there right after him. And I told everyone, look, this is really why I'm getting rid of it. And then he changed his mind. And now he's not answering his emails. He's not on Facebook. But apparently I somehow inspired him to limit his use of technology.
Well, since you mentioned Robert, I want to give him a chance to respond to that. Robert, do you want to respond to that, your reaction to what Annie said? Okay, I think Robert is on mute, so he's not going to respond to that. But I can definitely understand that, because he doesn't answer his emails. It's just the way it is.
Which is annoying, actually, but okay.
Very annoying, especially when you send 10 emails and then he's like, well, I never got that email.
I know. But hey,
yeah.
Hey, calling is his preferred method of communication, so we should just honor that, right?
Well, exactly. Exactly. I mean, if for me, it's very difficult when people text a lot, because I'm not a texter. And I think it's a great tool to have, but for me to sit and text all day would be such a huge waste of time. And so if somebody really wants to text me an address that's very convenient rather than have to write it down, or some important information like I'm outside your house, I'm ringing the bell, will you answer the door, or something mm-hmm. like that. Yeah, but for me to just use text as my major form of communication, I'd rather use the phone, obviously. So I'm on the same page. I would rather use the phone too. But I also know that I have to be a little bit on top of my email, because it's such a tremendous tool. It's so amazing to even have email for us people who have been around before email was even a word. That it's like, it's amazing. It's like, why would you want to ignore something so amazingly wonderful? An opportunity to communicate with people in such a quick and such a efficient way. So, yeah, it's a communication level. So thank you so much, Annie. I really appreciate everything that you've done and everything that you've said. And I just want to add that, just your own words back at you, your decision is important, but your decision is not cut in stone. So whatever decision that you make will be a good decision. But if it's a decision, like the same thing like when you started school, if it's a decision that is good for you for 6 months, and then after the 6 months you want to modify it, improve it, if that decision is not exactly on your dime and you want to move towards your point, towards your center as you go along and as you go to school, then it's okay to do it. It's not carved on a tablet for all eternity.
Mm-hmm.
But it's definitely, life is a journey. And life is a process. And that basically is, as you said, it's not the end of the world. It's one decision. So it's just an amazing process of making that decision. It is an important decision, and it is the foundation of your life.
Tippi, I want to thank you for letting me be on your show. I definitely had a great time talking and sharing what I had to say. It was definitely a wonderful experience.
Thank you so much. And we have come to the end of our time together here on Tiffy Talk. It has been wonderful chatting with you, Annie, and thank you so much for joining us. You've been listening to, thank you, you've been listening to Tiffy Talk. We bid you a magical journey and let your talent be your potion. My name is Tiffy Feldenstein.
We all go running around.
joy of live conversation. Robert, are you still with us?
I am.
Okay, I'm going to let you respond since we have a few seconds left for the show and you didn't get a chance to respond to Annie. Is there any response you want to give her?
Absolutely.
Thank you, Annie.
Annie, that was fantastic what you had to say, and it's been a good exercise in giving up some technologies. The efficiency, though, can wreak havoc on others. So that's the lesson I've learned by giving up those two pieces of technology, emailing and Facebooking.
Yes, thank you so much, Robert. Have a wonderful week ahead of you and enjoy the rest of Memorial Day weekend.
Thank you, Tippy. Thank you, Annie.